Well, welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We want to thank those of you who are joining us live on our Facebook feed, as well as those of you who are joining us on the recorded session that is either on our Facebook page or maybe on our YouTube channel, or maybe you're joining us on our podcast. But whichever place you're joining us, we are just happy to have you. But we have an extra perk for those people who are joining us live, and that's, of course, you can interact with us. And I have a very special guest once again tonight. Her name is Shelly Sangre. Or is it Sangre?
Sangre, but my husband's family down home, they say Sangre. So either or is fine.
All right. Well, that works. Well, I'm excited about our conversation tonight. It was funny because Shelly had said that she wanted to talk about, just relaxing, homeschooling and just with a much more, approach to not being so cluttered and, and all of that and just hectic. And I was thinking, oh, she's going to teach us how to clean our houses.
Oh my gosh.
I read the information you sent me, and I was like, oh, I like this even more. I have to clean your house.
I wouldn't be the one that you would want to ask about that.
So I thought I would just have you start out by introducing, kind of who you are, a little bit about your family, and then just the topic that we're going to be discussing and why it's so important to you. And so let's just get started there, and then we'll just kind of move into some questions and go from there. And if you're watching us live, definitely feel like you can just post up questions as we're going. So.
Okay. So hi, everyone. I'm Shelly. I am a mom of 11 and a wife. We are currently in our 10th year of homeschooling. Only 8 of those have been consecutive. We actually started homeschooling back in 2007, and I homeschooled for 2 years and got burned out, which right there, I'm telling you, is the catalyst for the way that we homeschool today. Yes. And my kids were actually back in public school for 2 years before I pulled them back out again with an entirely new philosophy. Because what ended up happening was first of all, let me just tell you also that I have 7 girls and 4 boys. I know I didn't tell you much about my family, but I get so excited talking about how we got to this point in our journey what ended up happening was I was just one of those kids who always did really well in school, and I loved school. So when I decided to homeschool my kids, I tried to just bring everything that I knew about school into our house. I had, the little chalkboard, and my kids had the little, which not that they're bad, but I'm just saying that I had a little classroom with a chalkboard, and I got the little individual desks at a thrift store for my kids to always, for them to all sit at. They had to raise their hands to ask questions, to go to the bathroom. And I was really, really stuck on lists and lesson plans. Like, we had to finish it for the day, or it really, really, really bothered me. And so there were some days that we were homeschooling until 5 o'clock. There were other times that we were making up schoolwork on Saturdays, because in Pennsylvania, where I live, you have to have 180 days of school in. And what ended up happening was my oldest son, who is 25 now, he was just getting ready to go into 11th grade, and he asked if he could go back to high school because he hated homeschooling. And my other kids hated it, and I hated it, and I was burned out. So that's what ended up happening. And the whole journey back with my kids in school, it wasn't good. I missed my kids. Mm-hmm. I missed having them home. We didn't have that centrality of the family anymore. I was noticing some character issues with my kids. Mm-hmm. And I finally decided that, you know what? I would like to do this again, but I'm going to do it differently. Yeah. And that was when I actually came across some great books by John Holt. Learning All the Time by John Holt completely changed the philosophy of my homeschool. And so that's how we got to where we are today, is relaxed homeschooling, because we actually did do unschooling for a while. And when you're a mom of many, you need structure. And unschooling, the way that we were doing it, at least, we had no structure. Our house was in chaos. So we actually morphed into a relaxed homeschool where we have some structure, but I give the kids plenty of time for self-directed learning too. So that's where we're at today.
And so that's kind of the model now that you work from. And
yes,
and I love it when you,
yes.
So Shelly has a blog as well as a YouTube channel, and I watched a lot of her content and read a lot too before we met. And you have some really good ways of explaining why you need the structure as well as your children. And, you know,
yes.
I'm one of those checklist people. And so, yeah, when I hear the word unschooling, you know, and I basically did unschool one of my children, but I don't admit that too much because, you know, I still had to have stuff written down. And so I don't know if you can officially call that unschooling. But so, you know, where is the ebb and flow of going from the extreme schooling, you know, to sitting in desks and doing things the way they do in a traditional school, to unschooling, you know, where is that middle ground and how does that work?
Well, you know what? That's a good question, because for me, I think that it was too much of going from one extreme to the other. Mm-hmm. Because the book that I did mention earlier, Learning All the Time, it really did inspire me about kids learn best naturally and about how children learn. And I think that it just really made me completely shy away of the public school model. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I had also read some books by John Taylor Gatto. So I was like, okay, I want nothing to do with the public school model anymore. And I pushed it to the side, went right to unschooling. And for us, it was just, I think it was too drastic of a change because my kids loved it. But for me, sure. I'm a type A mom. I like lists. Mm-hmm. I like writing things down. And mm-hmm. I found myself really getting stressed out all the time over, what are they doing that's educational? Are they learning? You know, are they wasting their time? And I think that I got to the point where, you know, before with the really school at home model that we were doing, I was on my kids too much with schoolwork. And then with unschooling, what ended up happening was I started getting on my kids too much about, what are you doing? What are you doing that's educational? You know, So for us, I think that it was too much from going from one extreme to the other. So now we're kind of like just in the middle.
Right. Yeah.
And
so did that take a while for you to kind of, you know, ease into and figure out? And so, you know, you talk about the structure part mm-hmm. and then the loose part. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. so homeschooling relaxed is a mixture of both.
Yes. Yes. I like to call it a hybrid of unschooling and a more structured learning approach. Now I do it in different phases with my kids. I actually group my kids into littles, middles, and teens, because for me, it's much easier than just teaching them all together at one time, especially because there's such a wide variety of age groups.
Right.
So what I have found works best with my kids is with my littles. That's typically, you know, like around kindergarten to third or fourth grade. Mm-hmm. I really like to focus on the three R's with them and give them a good solid foundation in those areas, because those are the most important areas, because if they don't have that, how are they going to get everything else? So we really focus a lot on that. But at that age, kids really do still learn best from play. So I do mm-hmm. give them lots of time for just play, self-directed learning, interest-led learning. But I do very often, I still throw some things in there. My littles have been doing beautiful feet books with me this year and last year. But we only do it twice a week. But that actually gives them little ideas of things that they can play with. Now, this isn't Beautiful Feet books, but at one point I read Little House on the Prairie series to my kids. And that inspired them. They would go outside and they would play Little House, and they asked me to help them learn how to churn butter, which obviously we don't have a cow. I live in the city, but we found like a little book that shows you how to do it in a jar, you know, with milk and everything. And they wanted to make the molasses snow candy. And I just saw how well it inspired learning in my kids.
Yes.
So what I basically do with my littles right now at this point is really, really give a good solid foundation in the three R's. And of course, read alouds. Read alouds are big in our house.
Oh, yes, I agree.
So that's what we do with the middles, which is typically fourth or fifth up until about eighth grade. Of course, they continue with the three R's, but I will a lot of times add in some unit studies or some notebooking. I love notebooking. Mm-hmm. And what that is I'm kind of pulling from the Charlotte Mason method in that you're giving them like a smorgasbord of things to learn about. You're introducing them to different aspects of the world. You're giving them different pieces so that they can find something that, you know, they might want to do, something that they're particularly interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to admit, this is my favorite age to teach. It really is. I'm just like relishing in this. I have four middles right now, and I'm like, yes, because I just love that whole aspect of it. I love unit studies. I love notebooking. Mm-hmm. And then with my teens, what I do is, of course, three R's go throughout. With my teens, what I have been doing is I really let them choose a lot of what they're going to learn about, because it is their interests that are going to drive them in the direction exactly. that they are going to go. Yeah. And I think that a lot of times we don't give high school students enough time to learn to actually be adults. You know, we're so busy just mm-hmm. cramming them with school subjects that we're forgetting that. I don't know about you or anyone else, but although I loved school, I don't remember a lot from it. Oh, you know, I did really well. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, and I don't remember a lot.
Good grades, but yeah, where yeah. is it? Who knows?
Yeah, it's like it just went right back out again. But mm-hmm. you know, and that's why I think it's so important that we give them time to learn how to live in the real world, which is what I love yeah. about homeschooling. Because while yes, their studies are really important. But the learning how to just be an adult, you know, the new buzzword is adulting. So yes. letting them, mm-hmm. you know, do the adulting thing, that mm-hmm. is showing them long-term things that is actually going to have a definite impact on them once yeah. they graduate. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that because, you know, we try to push too much in too fast, I think, and that approach yeah. of, you know, just focusing on the basics, the foundations, you know, for the mm-hmm. first couple of years. And yes, throwing in, you know, those ideas that education is broader than this, you know, to pique their interest almost so that they yeah. want to get to that next phase.
Right.
You yeah. know, and then they're hungry to expand it out. And we did unit studies throughout our homeschooling. I still kind of follow the Charlotte Mason through high school for my yeah. kids. I have only one left now. But yeah, it definitely allows them to, like you said, with that middle phase to really look at different areas that they may be interested. So when you do get to that high school level, you know, they kind of already have an idea where their interests are, and you're not kind of floating all over the place. Or
right.
you graduate from high school and say, well, you're done with your studies. Now what are you going to do with your life?
Yeah. kind of like, which is what happened to so many of us, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I went into engineering not even realizing what an engineer was, although that's what my dad did. But he never talked about what he did.
Right.
It was just so disconnected. So to be able to give your kids those experiences.
Yeah. And I really think I love just the aspect that high schoolers who are homeschooled, they really have that freedom of pursuing the things that interest them. When I was in high school, I was a gifted AP student. And my senior year of high school, I already had all of my math credits, so I did not have to take a math my senior year. But I told my guidance counselor at the end of 11th grade when I was choosing my classes, I would like to do mm-hmm. bookkeeping and accounting, because I actually originally wanted to open a dance studio. And I thought, okay, mm-hmm. bookkeeping and accounting would be really helpful for that. Uh-huh. And yeah, so when I told my counselor that that's what I wanted to do, he actually said to me, you can't take bookkeeping and accounting. Those are business courses and you are college prep. And so my wow. senior year, I ended up not taking any math courses. He was more okay with me not mm-hmm. taking math courses than with me deviating off of my track, you know, and going the business route. He liked it better that way. And so I wow. just love that, you know, homeschooled children, they can just really do whatever appeals to them. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, with a parent's direction, of course, and, you know, counseling.
Yeah, because you still have to figure out a way to give credits for those things and
grade
those things. You can put them in their transcript.
Yes, so yes.
That's a whole other exception to talk
about. Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, my middle son kind of just led his own high school, and it worked out well, but it kind of shocked me after, you know, you doing unit studies with my first and now doing the Charlotte Mason with my third, to have this kind of floater that just wanted to direct his own stuff. I was like, no,
but that's awesome.
It worked out well.
It
didn't discourage him. I think he was getting to the point where I saw that it wasn't going to be effective if we kept going, you know, and we don't want our children to be in that place where they're so discouraged that they give up on
learning. Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, learning is awesome, you know, and that's what I want to pass on to my kids is that there is so much stuff out there in the world to learn about. Exactly. You know, I never want to hear you say that you're bored. So, yeah.
So did your older kids ever, you know, reconcile your original delving into homeschooling and then coming back?
Well, my oldest son, he ended up graduating from public school then. Mm-hmm. And to this day, he still is not very pro homeschooling because he still sees what I blame myself for that. He still sees what I did. I really, you know, I would literally just model everything that they did at school. Even with him, I would read the chapter that he was supposed to read the night before, and then that day I would write all these notes on the board and have him copy them. And it was, you know, why bring your kids out of school if you're just going to do the same thing in your house? And I didn't get that. I was, to me, it was just like, oh, I'm playing school with my kids, except this is for real, you know, but it ended up having a really negative effect doing that. So I've tried to explain to him, hey, you know what, that we don't do it like you did. And I'm sorry that you didn't get to experience it this way.
Yeah.
But actually my other kids now, they all are at the point now where I have actually graduated to homeschoolers now. My second and my third, they graduated from homeschool, and my oldest daughter, she's my second child. I know it's probably confusing because I have so many kids, but she's 19 now. And she was in public school longer than any of my other children, because when I did pull them out the second time after my 2-year burnout, she actually asked me if she could stay in school. She was in honors classes. She was doing really well. Mm-hmm. So I let her stay in. And then she actually asked me if I would homeschool her for high school, which I was ecstatic. I was hoping that all along. And so I did. So yeah, they all ended up reconciling with that then.
That's good. Yes. And we, you know, our kids know that we're not perfect. At least I hope they do. And those things as we go along too. And so, you know what, I don't know if we've covered this yet, but the benefits of, I think we did that, but you had some basic principles, 7 basic principles that you shared on one of your blogs of,
I'm trying to think. What were those?
So I have one about slow down with planning. So can you elaborate with that a little bit?
Yes, I think that a lot of times when, especially new homeschoolers, but sometimes it can be seasoned homeschooling moms, you know, at the beginning of a new homeschooling year, you get so excited about all of that curriculum and all of the choices and, you know, the brand new year. And it's just like, oh, the world is at my feet. And you get so excited. And you'll, before you know it, you've planned out an entire year of homeschooling. And what happens, at least with moms like me, and maybe you, because I know you said you're a list maker, it's hard for me, because if I look on that planner and see that things are not going the way that I have them written down, it bothers me. Right. And what ends up happening is I get really anxious over it. And, you know, your kids can pick up on that when you're trying to rush them, or when you're getting a little cranky because things aren't going the way you wanted it to. And so, So it's like, so I've actually started right now, I will usually plan out at most 6 weeks at a time, because
mm-hmm.
we do the Sabbath homeschool schedule. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's just 6 weeks on, 1 week off. It's
okay.
It's a sort of year-round homeschool where you do 6 weeks on and 1 week off. And
okay.
then you take 6 weeks off at Thanksgiving and Christmas and another 6 weeks for summer.
Okay.
And so what I usually do now is I will sometimes schedule those 6 weeks, and then well, if we can make it that far, getting all of that done, then I will plan the next 6 weeks while we're on our break. But I'm actually, I've made peace with the fact that I'm homeschooling 8 kids this year, and
mm-hmm.
things are not, you know, life happens. And that's one thing that I really, really, people need to realize that, you know, life happens. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
the things that are happening in your life, they're learning experiences too.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that sometimes we try to avoid those things from happening, but those, a lot of times, since the kids see that they have some sort of meaningful impact on your
mm-hmm.
life, that we have to embrace them. And, you know, we don't,
mm-hmm.
not every single day constantly, you know, and never get anything done, but, you know, within reason, you know, so,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I think it's so important that if you are going to plan, don't do it so far out, and also just maybe have it sort of be like a basic structure. I don't even put dates anymore. I will put like day one, day two, day three.
Mm-hmm.
That has helped me so much, because that way, if I see that something was supposed to be done September 12th and it doesn't get done until September 15th, I'm okay with that, you know?
Because you didn't have a date on it. That's
yeah.
advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And writing it in pencil, and, you know, and being able to move things around, and, you know, yeah, it all gets convoluted. I think when I look at how nicely it's all written out at the beginning, I just do 4 weeks at a time, because that's the way our Charlotte Mason lessons go.
Yeah.
And still, it's like my daughter's, her presentation that was supposed to be last Friday is now going to be this Thursday. And I'm going, it's got to be done by this Thursday.
I get it.
Yep.
I get it.
The way it is.
The struggle is real, right?
Exactly. So,
yeah.
And then your second one was forget about teacher's manuals. That was
yes.
so important.
Yes. I'm not going to say all teacher's manuals, because,
mm-hmm.
for example, if you've ever used Beautiful Feet books, they come with wonderful guides for you to follow. But a lot of curriculum is written, even though it's homeschool curriculum,
mm-hmm.
I think that it's written more for a classroom than for an actual
really
homeschool.
Is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happens a lot of times is you will get the teacher's manual. Now, sometimes the teacher's manual comes with the answer key inside of it. And if that's the case and you want the answer key, of course, you know,
right,
then you want to get that.
Mm-hmm.
But some curriculum sells the teacher's manual separately from the answer key.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always getting everything right away, because, you know, I wanted to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was finding that a lot of the things in the teacher's manual, they were not things that really enriched their learning. It was just kind of something else to do. You know, it was almost sort of like busy work.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't helping them to understand any better. And, you know, I even got the teacher's manual for like phonics books. And
mm-hmm.
now I look back on it and I'm like, why did I need a teacher's manual for phonics? And it's true, because we use the Christian Liberty Press Adventures in Phonics, which I love. We've
mm-hmm.
used that for years. And again, I got the teacher's manual at first, and it was giving all of these additional activities to do with your kids. And if you only have one or two kids, that might work. But when you are a large family homeschool mom, you know, you have to do what works so that you can educate everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I was finding is that it was just taking up too much time, and it was stressing me out. And again, that stress, the kids can feel it. You know, it's all
right.
Like, you know, whatever mom feels, the kids feel.
Mm-hmm.
So so I've learned, don't rely on those teacher's manuals. If you are okay with just using them kind of as a resource to get ideas,
mm-hmm.
then by all means do that. I'm the type of person that if I have one, I'm going to try to use it like as close to it as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really tried to start sticking. When I do use manuals, it's the ones like Beautiful Feet books that are very simple, very basic, and that really
right.
give you lots of room for flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, if you don't have the manual, you're more apt to teach the material the way you're learning it, because you reabsorb it when you're looking yes. at the children's, you know, their curriculum product anyways. And so mm-hmm. you're basically regurgitating to them the way you're intaking the information, and they're used to listening to you. The way right. somebody else speaks and the way somebody else describes something. And if you're just reading rote what they've written in there, they don't know this person. And then right. maybe their vocabulary is very different. We don't think about those types of things. We think these people are professionals. So of course right. they have to have all the right answers and the way to teach, but kids learn relationally. And so yes. what you're saying about, mm-hmm. you know, just making it yours is,
yes.
is okay, throw out those manuals, especially the ones yeah. that give you the scripts to read out.
Yes, yes. And I think that a lot of times we homeschool moms, we are very conscientious about following our kids' learning styles, you know, mm-hmm. observing them to see how they learn. But we fail to remember that we have a teaching style. You know, we have a way that works best for us. You know, there are mm-hmm. some people who are great with the Pinterest type stuff and love mm-hmm. to do all the crafty, hands-on, beautiful projects that you see on Pinterest. Yeah. And then you will have other people who just really like to do things very basically. You have other moms who like to work through read alouds with their kids. It just, mm-hmm. you really need to, just as you are working your kids' learning styles in, you have to work your own personality into it yeah. too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. 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 Definitely. Yeah. I think I was telling a mom today on our support group, I was like, you know, picking the curriculum is as much about you as it is about your child.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
Not a lot of people say that. And, you know, it seems odd because that's not, again, the way the schools do it. You know, they just tell right. the teachers this is what you're going to teach and go for it. And we know how well that works too.
Yeah. So, and I feel bad for them because that can't be fun, you know?
Yeah.
yeah.
I know my sister's a teacher and yeah, she
can, yeah.
things change. So your third thing that you said was keep structured learning to a minimum. And I mm-hmm. think you touched on that. Is there anything else to share, you know, just about how you prioritize that?
Sure. Well, the structured learning is usually what I considered structured learning in our house is when we actually sit down and we will start our day with devotions and Bible, and mm-hmm. that we just do from a Bible. We don't have a Bible curriculum. Mm-hmm. Or my littles, I have a Bible storybook that I just read to them. And then we do read aloud. And then the three R's, mm-hmm. of course, that's the structured learning part. And then we will move on to either unit studies or notebooking. Mm-hmm. But what I have found with my kids is that I have one child with ADHD. A few that I suspect may have it, but I never actually had them checked for it. Mm-hmm. But even the ones that do not have it, I have found that with my children, I have wiggle worms. I really do. And so shorter lessons, which, okay, is right up Charlotte Mason's alley. So you've heard mm-hmm. this. Shorter lessons, they work best with my children. So that is really what we do. So even with our structured learning, when they are doing, for example, their phonics, they will do like one page of phonics. And that is it. That is not all the language arts they're getting, because I am reading to them. They are reading to me. We're reading exactly. together, yes. you know, and you just, yeah. And I'm just, mm-hmm. I think that holistic learning is very underrated. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I really, really want to make time for. Same thing with the math. You know, I don't want my 7-year-old sitting in tears over her math. I would rather have her do, she just does both sides of an Abeka worksheet. My 7-year-old does Abeka. Mm-hmm. She does both sides of the worksheet, and that is it. She loves math, you know, mm-hmm. and that's how they will get to the point that they love math a lot of times, is if mm-hmm. you are not mm-hmm. expecting them to do, you know, 45 minutes of math a day.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just do, you know, them alongside each other and work them out together till I get to the point where I'm kind of going, okay, I think you're getting this. And so let's yeah. try a couple examples on your own and see if mm-hmm. we can test that out, and then we'll call it a day.
Yes.
So yeah, that works out so much better. I love what you said in one of your videos. You talked about, and this is for high school level, mm-hmm. and talking about how you know, you separate things out into subjects, but we don't do that in life.
No.
But you said, you know, you go into, you know, and balance your checkbook and then you check off you did math that day.
Yeah.
That is so, it is so true, but we don't think about that. And so even for those high schoolers, you know, mm-hmm. making sure that that structured time is not, is all there, because classifying their life into subjects is not
right.
Your goal.
Right. And, you know, even with now there for a while, I found myself that I was still doing that with high school. It was just something that was ingrained into me, you know, from all those years in school. I was separating out their subjects, but I've actually gotten to the point where now I will tell my high schoolers, of course, I'm sorry, I hope you can still hear me. Of course, they still do, you know, their language arts and math and everything, mm-hmm. but it's not like it's language arts, math, history, science, and just like a list. What I have been doing with my high schoolers is I want them to focus on one thing that really interests them, and I want them to completely investigate that entire thing, and they notebook through it. And while they are doing that, mm-hmm. they are learning through all of those subject areas, you know, it's so it's not yes. just about doing things that are disconnected. You know, this mm-hmm. is one topic, but they are pulling all the subject areas into it and really becoming experts in that field. So
you're teaching yeah. them how to learn, you know?
Yes.
And that is our goal, not to teach yes. them to be good students. Right?
Yes.
I have a friend whose son went to a prep school, and he's in Harvard now, but she said wow. she was so worried about his graduation. She goes, all he knows how to do is take tests. And that's yeah. what his school prepared him for. And
yes, and I that's mean, true.
Where does he go after college? He's not going to go to some place that's just going to give him tests. He has to really
right.
live in the real life. So, so yeah,
it's a rude awakening. It really is.
We don't want to prepare our children for that. So
no, and you know, that's what it's not about teaching your children what to learn. It's teaching them how to learn, mm-hmm. teaching them mm-hmm. how to go about researching something. If they want to know how, if they want the answer to something, show them how to find the answer, show them what they need right. to do. And as a parent, be a good model for that, you know, do mm-hmm. it yourself, have interests of your own and let them watch you, mm-hmm. let them see you finding out about the things that you're interested in and how you go about doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Learning and growing. We don't ever stop. That's
no.
Yeah, exactly. So, your number four was piggybacking on the teacher's manuals, but saying goodbye to textbooks. And that is a different thing than, you know,
yes.
the teacher's manuals. So
yes.
what do you mean by that?
I think that a lot of times, again, it's just because most of us have been brought up in the traditional school setting, and it's been like mm-hmm. this for generations. And we don't realize that this entire school model has only been around as it is for about 150 years.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that textbooks are not the only way to learn. And I think that a lot of times we homeschooling parents, we lack confidence, especially if we don't have teaching certificates. We think, am I really qualified to teach my children? You know, maybe I should kind of do what they're doing in school to make sure that I get this done right. But what is really true, at least for my children and a lot of people that I talk to, is that textbooks don't work well for everyone. They don't work well for a lot of kids.
For most. yeah.
Yeah, for most kids. And I think that we just need to learn to just let go of that aspect of it and realize mm-hmm. that there is mm-hmm. literally learning all around you. And even, you know, just going to the library. Yeah. So I know that there are people who were asking me, how do you know that your kids are learning enough if you're just using the library? And I was just like, oh my gosh, did someone really just say that?
Yeah.
Because, you know, where do you think the people who write textbooks get a lot of their information from mm-hmm. books like those that you find at the library?
Right.
Except at the library, they're so much more interesting and mm-hmm. you can go so much more deeply into a topic because there's a whole section on it. Whereas in textbooks, they're kind of just confined into, you know, 900 pages or however big they are. And I actually, yeah. I had a book called King George, What Was His Problem? It was about the American Revolution. And it was written by a former textbook author. And he actually had a note in the beginning of this book and said, he kind of apologized to everyone for textbooks. And he said, I really wanted to put all this interesting information in here, but they wouldn't let me. They made me cut it all out. He said, so this is all the stuff that I was not allowed to put in the textbook. And that book was awesome.
Right.
So I think that we just really need to have confidence in ourselves and realize that textbooks are not the only way. And they're great for checking off boxes so that you can say, okay, chapter one was done today and we did section 1.1 and the vocabulary was done. But really in the long run, what has your child gained from it? And that's the big question.
What do they remember? They don't remember those textbooks, but they remember those books, the living books, you know,
the
ones with the biographies or the ones that are historical fiction and they relate to the characters. They will never forget those things.
Oh, I know. I know. I read Johnny Tremaine to my high schoolers last year. And especially, it's funny. I thought my son would really like it. It was my daughter. She just loved Johnny Tremaine. And to this day, we rented the movie at the library then. Mm. And she just, the whole time, she just kept saying, that didn't happen in the book. That's different. Why are they doing that? Like, see, they did that even then. But yeah, and they do. They really remember those things. And it sparks their interest even for that time period and say, she loves reading the Dear America series books now too.
Mm-hmm.
So
We're listening to Pride and Prejudice right now. So that's a new interesting one for me. I hadn't delved into that with my boys. They always picked other books, you know, that had more interest for them. So now that I have a daughter, it's like, oh, yeah.
It's a whole different area now.
Yeah, doing fashion and, you know, what was it like to live as a royal during the time that Napoleon? And she's like, it was scary, Mom. You know, funny to hear. And, you know, the thing is I find I don't really have to test a whole lot. I mean, I do want my children to get used to tests in high school or even, you know, the younger ages, but they just talk about what they're learning because they're so excited about it. So you get summaries of it, whether you ask for it or not, and you know they're learning.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are excellent evaluations. And I think that's another thing that people don't grasp is that just having a conversation with your child, you can get such a great idea of what it is that they've truly retained.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. They if they can put it in their own words, then we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love this number five. Forget about school timelines and charts, developmental, you know, charts.
Yes.
And, you know, not the rewards and all that stuff, but we're talking about, you know, getting my, I, as a consultant, I always got, how do I get my child caught up? And it was like one of the least favorite questions I liked getting because, you know, you have to tell a parent, there's no catching up. Who are you catching up with?
Right.
And so, yeah, can you explain a little bit more about, you know, how to do
Sure. Well, I think that if you take a look around us, not even just in the school setting, but everywhere in society, we're just obsessed with timelines. You know, your child should be doing this by 18 months. Your child should be doing this by 2 years. Your child should be doing this by 3 years. In school, you know, if they're not doing things by a certain time, it's not because there is anything wrong with that particular child. The issue with that in school is because they need to keep everybody moving at the same pace.
Right.
But and we as parents don't realize that. And teachers don't tell you that either, at least not the ones that I've had with my kids. They've never said to me, there's nothing wrong with your child. You know, it's just that we need to try to keep everyone together. What they have said to me with my oldest son was they wanted him to repeat, I think it was second grade, because they said that he was not reading on the proper timeline. And I refused to let him repeat. And then 4 years later, they tested him for the gifted program, you know, and it was just, they don't explain those things to you. And I think that it's so important that we parents need to remember that, you know, God has created us as individuals. He has created our children to be individuals, and they are not cookie cutter images of one another. And just because one child is doing one thing at a certain age does not mean that your child has to. And they all have their own strengths, their own abilities. And school especially, and again, we bring that whole mentality into homeschool because that's what we grew up with. School embraces certain talents, certain abilities, and
exactly.
kind of, you know, pushes everything else to the side. And no, and there are so many things that kids are good at outside of school that are not recognized. And I think, you know, so for example, if you have one child who excels at sports, there are often times that they might be a little bit behind in their reading or a little bit behind with their fine motor skills. And I have noticed this is because no child, okay, at least no child that I've ever met is going to absolutely have it all. You know, there are going to be, yes, some areas in their life, they're going to have to get up to certain levels. But the only reason that school has that timeline is to keep everybody together. When you're homeschooling your kids, you know, you need to embrace your children and just give them the freedom to learn at their own pace. Because if you push them ahead of their time, they're going to hate learning. And I know this from experience. You know, my one of my daughters, she when I pulled them out of school the second time, I was really, really pushing her about reading and just pushing, pushing, because I thought she wasn't doing, I thought she wasn't where she should be. And she would cry. And I look back on that now and I feel so bad that I did that. And it was just because I didn't have that, it was very hard for me to get rid of that mentality, you know, of that kids are different and that's okay. And actually you were saying that you get that in your consult and your consultancy. And I actually, someone just asked me, I think in one of the comments on one of my videos, they said, I just pulled my child out of school and they're in sixth grade, but they're at a fourth grade level. How can I homeschool my child and get my child back up to a sixth grade level? And I'm just, I didn't answer the comment yet because I don't think that I'm going to tell them what they're expecting, you know?
Yes. And that's unfortunate that, you know, you know, I always talk about learning plateaus. You know, kids have learning plateaus. They will have to sometimes develop a whole nother skill in order to increase the skill of what they're doing in reading or math. And then all of a sudden that one experience, so that one other thing that they do there will jump them up to the next one. It doesn't mean that nothing's going on. And you know, so frustrating the child in that process when they can't force themselves to move forward doesn't help anything at all. And usually that's how I explain it. You know, I worked both as a special needs consultant for two different state organizations before we started this organization. So I've been on the other side of the phone with many parents. And you try to navigate those questions lightly, just because they changing your mindset from that schooling to looking at school more eclectically. It takes a while. You know, I think I, when I was talking to one mom, she said about 5 years, 4 or 5 years in, we finally hit our stride. And I was like, I think that's about right. You know, it's when the kids started just picking up their stuff and everything functioned, you know, like this is how this world works. But so don't get frustrated if you're just starting that, you know, things aren't going well yet. It takes a while. It's a new habit and you don't always start off, you know, that habit very well either. So,
And you know, sometimes it'll change unexpectedly too. You'll think that you have everything going well and then something will happen and you will need to change things up. And this happens throughout homeschooling. And so that's something else that I really tried to encourage people about is that even if you've been homeschooling for a number of years and you find yourself having to all of a sudden change things up, that's okay. It happens.
Yes.
And
because
just,
your kids,
you know,
the dynamics of what they're learning and who they are, because you're transitioning from one child to the next child. And you know, if you're homeschooling one child, it's probably not going to happen as much.
Right.
I can't imagine the flux in your house.
Oh, I know. 2 years ago, I was homeschooling 10 because my youngest, she was just 3 at the time. So I wouldn't particularly consider that homeschooling when they're 3. Yeah. She is very, very rambunctious and very, very precocious. And she wanted to do school. So I actually, now usually for preschoolers, I will say, just let them play. Please do not give them worksheets. Yeah. Don't make them sit for 2 hours and do schoolwork when they're 3. But my daughter, now I didn't do that with her, but she absolutely demanded workbooks. Yeah. She wanted to do math. That's so I would have to make time to sit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe even 5 or 10 minutes. But so, yeah, so I do. Now I do count that as homeschooling her because I did have to set a time out with her because otherwise she would actually come up to me and point it out to me, Mom, we didn't do math today. And she's still like that. She's 5 now and she's still the same way.
Well, mine is 14. And yes, and she's doing 11th grade work this year because she's
wow.
I'm going to do school.
Like, that's okay, awesome.
Yeah. So just keep praying that enthusiasm continues.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah. She picked up her books the day after she turned 3 because we started school then with the older ones. And she's like, where's mine?
Like, yeah. Oh. They want to be a part of it.
They do. Yeah. Yes. It's what your family does. It's not just added on. And, you know, and that's
the
of it too.
Yes, and that's what I would say. It's homeschooling is not a part of life; it's a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I couldn't see it any other way. And really,
yeah.
This is my 17th year. So.
Wow. So who am I talking to you? You should have all the answers now.
No. I talk to a lot of people that have all the answers. So number 6, you say yes to more. So
yes.
More of what?
I think that sometimes, and I am guilty of this, and anything that I talk about on my blog, or I would say 95% of what I talk about on my blog, I have learned through experience in my own life. Mm-hmm. And I have seen with myself and with other parents that a lot of times when our kids ask to do something, our automatic response is no, because sometimes it might take a little extra time out. It might cause a little bit of inconvenience, or sometimes we just don't want to deal with it at the time. Mm-hmm. So our kids hear a lot of no, no, no. And I still struggle with that because I just, you know, I've got so many kids. I have 9 kids who still live at home, and I still have, you know, requests coming at me all the time. So it's hard to filter them out. But I think that it's really important that we do start thinking about saying yes to more things, even if it's things such as, you know, can I get out the paints? You know, a lot of times, especially for moms who just really, really like to keep things tidy, I've given up on that with the size of my household. But, you know, they might say, oh, no, don't get the paints out. I don't want to clean up the mess. Or, you know, Mom, can I bake a cake? Oh, no, because, again, the mess in the kitchen. Or sometimes they might ask things, can we go to the park? Mm. Or can I read this book? I think that a lot of times, excuse me, we homeschooling parents, we're so focused on giving our kids a quality education that I think that sometimes we forget that our kids might want to sometimes even read books that we would not particularly pick for them. Like, I know not bad books, but I'm saying books that would be considered twaddle, you know? And so what I'm saying
lots
is sometimes
books
if
have come through my house.
Yes. Yes. But when ours, it's manga. So basically same thing. Yeah. 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 So, and I'm finding that too, is that, you know, you just have to let your kids, they're not going to be able to find themselves. They're not going to be able to fully explore the things that they are interested in if they are too restricted, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, it's sometimes I'm still working on that. I really am. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, when I have just a couple kids left at home, I'm going to be like, yes, yes. You know, it's going to feel so awesome.
Yes, a lot more.
Yeah.
I'm finding out with my last, she's going to art club and game day. And, you know, we're doing all these activities and I have to take work with me. But it's so nice to be able to offer her that flexibility that with my oldest has Asperger's. And so for a long time, social things did not happen at all.
Right.
And so it's a complete mind shift for me to be doing so many social things. And it's like, well, when are we going to get school done? Cause we're going here to here to here. And, but yeah, it's, you definitely have to allow them to explore those types of things. And yeah, allowing manga and comic books and going to Comic-Con. My daughter is actually in the process now of writing a graphic novel and doing for that. So you just don't
know. My troop get along well with my daughter. Sorry.
Connected.
Yeah.
So and the last thing you have on there is be prepared to throw out your plans. And I think you've touched on this a little bit. But how extreme does that get?
I think it depends on the time. It depends on what is going on at that particular time period. I wouldn't say throw out your plans every single day and let it happen all the time. But I think that, you know, we shouldn't shut everything out just because that's a school day. You know, we have to just learn that if something on the spur of the moment, if there is an opportunity on the spur of the moment, even if that means you're not going to get those boxes checked at the end of the day, it's okay. You can do those the next day. Embrace things as they come. And, you know, I took a walk with my kids Monday. That was our nature study day. So we took a walk down the street that I grew up on because it's very close to where I live now. And it's just a really, really wooded area. And they actually turned it into a park now. And there's lots of foundations that are still left over from houses that are 200 years old. You know, the foundations are there. There's like man-made springs, and they climbed up, they found an old chimney. And I said to my kids, you know, and just looking at the moss and the mushrooms, I said, who are we humans to think that we can, you know, make our kids learn when they literally have the world around them? And I think that we need to just embrace that more, let it happen more. And again, you know, now, I know that there are some unschoolers who would say, let it happen every day, that's fine. But if you are not comfortable with that, like for me, if I would let that happen every day, my house would just be in an uproar. As I said earlier, I need the structure because of the size of my family. And also because there are certain states require different things of you. So
Exactly.
in our state, you know, our kids have to take standardized tests in third, fifth, and eighth grade, and nobody sees the results except for our evaluator. But, you know, so you do at least want to make sure that you are getting that schoolwork in there. But don't write off even seemingly everyday things that seem to intrude upon your life because you never know what your kids are going to get out of that.
That's so true. And there are times in life when, you know, especially for like the community that we serve at Sped Homeschool, that, you know, there's medical issues, there's therapy interventions that need to take precedence because the underlying issues that the reason your child is not going to learn if you push and push and push them, no matter what curriculum you use, you need to deal with that first. That's not a deviation from your school.
No,
That's a
absolutely
step
not.
that is actually helping. And so, you know, when we can look at the broader picture, you know, and I think that's, you know, what you've really helped us to see tonight. I'm really bummed. Our interface with our audience is not working tonight. For some reason, it's normally I can see all these different technical things and nothing is on our Facebook page. I can see that we're recording, so at least that's good. But unfortunately, we can't take any responses from our audience. But that's
It's
okay.
me. It's just that's the effect I have on technology. It doesn't
At
like
least
me.
you've been able to stay here. But yeah, it's been great. We've almost filled our time anyway, so it doesn't really.
Sorry, I talk so much. You get me started on this and I don't shut up.
Well, you're passionate about it, and that really shows. You know, and
Thank
I'm
you.
sure your kids get that, you know, when you teach them too, because see, and it's good to be passionate about what we're teaching. Our kids know if we're just, you know, talking through, you know, and it's a drudgery for us too, because then it's not fun for anybody. And so you have to embrace homeschooling as, you know, that joyful time to teach your kids, as much as they need to embrace it on their end.
Absolutely.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I wanted to let people know about your resources that you have, definitely before we go, and then I'll let you kind of wrap up with some closing comments too about anything that you want to make sure that you share. But your blog is, I've got another page here. It's redheadmom8.wordpress.com. Is that? Yes. And you've got some great blogs on there that are hooked to your YouTube videos. And so there's lots of back and forth between there. But if you want to find Shelly on YouTube, It's Redhead Mom 8. If you do a search, all one word.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, and you've got some great information on there, and yes, she you're so personable on your videos. It's just like you welcome us into your house, and you're
So I said it's like sitting down having a cup of coffee, you know.
I watched one, and your cat was hitting the
Oh yeah, they're in so many of my videos, falling off windowsills and everything. And it's funny because the whole reason I started my YouTube channel was because my husband was so tired of me talking about homeschooling to him all the time. And I was like, I should start a YouTube channel. And I thought, even if nobody watches, I can still get it out of my system, you know. Yeah, so it's been a nice surprise that people actually watch. So yeah.
So good to have, you know, feedback.
Yeah.
It's okay to talk to yourself too, but it's
yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to close up talking about? I know we've pretty much covered everything that you had sent me information about. And
yeah, I think one thing that I'm really passionate about encouraging homeschooling parents with is to remember that you are your child's first teacher, and you are qualified to teach your children. You do not need a teaching certificate. Just as we talked about earlier, I think that the most important thing that you can do in your homeschool is to show your children how to learn, show them how to research things, show them how to think critically. Because I think that what we see a lot of times in school nowadays, we hear lots of talk about critical thinking, but they're not doing it so much. Because what you see a lot of times in the schools today is that if a student disagrees with a teacher, they're punished or sometimes might get a lower grade. And that is not encouraging critical thinking. So it is so important that you teach your children to think critically, to come to their own conclusions about things, and just to know how to research. And again, just to remember that love that you have for your child is going to see you through this no matter what.
Definitely. Yes. Yeah. And teaching them how to defend what they believe in.
Yes.
You know, that it moves into that point, and just even how to stand up for themselves when they know when their convictions. Our oldest had to fight against two professors in college who gave him grades that were very biased, and he won both of them. But
wow.
I'm so glad that he, you know, even with his autism tendencies, he made it through that. But it's because we taught him in his homeschooling environment that he needed to be able to think for himself. I don't think a public school student would have been as equipped to do that, because they're just, you know, they kind of have to go with the flow. And, you know, if you stand up against that, that's really not, you know, the system in the way to do it. And we kind of go against the system as homeschoolers.
Yes, we do. Swim against the flow, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes a little too much, maybe. At least in my case, you know. My husband's like, just calm down.
sounds like our marriage.
Yeah, I'm definitely not the calm one.
Me neither.
Well, thank you so much, Ellie. I just appreciate you spending this hour with us. It's been a delight getting to know you. And I definitely hope that our viewers will go visit your resources, and especially our large homeschooling families. I know we do have quite a few of them. And it's always encouraging to know that someone else is walking in your same shoes and you can do this.
Yes.
My parents have four. I'm the oldest of 14, but I only have
Wow.
So, but 10 of my siblings are adopted and all have special needs. So,
wow, that is awesome.
Different dynamic in our family. But yeah, it's large families can be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, yes, they can.
So, yeah.
So I just want to thank you so much for inviting me. This was really a lot of fun. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Yes. I always tell people when we get off these broadcasts, and, you know, some people that are introverts, they get off exhausted, and then, you know, I get off and can't go to sleep for 2 hours. So you're probably going to be in the same boat as me.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, we just want to thank you all for joining us tonight, and sorry we just weren't able to get any feedback. Hopefully our broadcast interface will work better next week, which we're going to have Amy Vickery. She's a SPED homeschool team member, and she also is a tutor for True North Academy, as well as a special needs consultant for them. And she's going to join us because she was a special education teacher actually before she had children, and now she homeschools her kids with special needs in her home. And we're going to talk about the creative advantage of being able to homeschool special needs in your home versus in the public school. So that's going to be a wonderful conversation. But thank you for watching. We want to thank the Learning Disabilities Foundation of America for partially funding this broadcast, and also for viewers like you who fund our ministry. And you can go to spedhomeschool.com to donate to that. Otherwise, we're going to keep the conversation going on our Facebook page, in our support group, and in our resource sharing page here on Facebook. Until next week. So we'll see you then. Bye.